The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's radio's Gil Alexander, everybody, along with Kelly Bidlin.
Hey,
my little buddy, losing weight before our very eyes. How you doing?
Doing well. I have dropped a couple more pounds.
Are you slow jamming the show this morning? What's that drop down? I'm doing fantastic,
Gil. How about you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. Yeah. We got a good show today. Matt Grissom, a little college baseball. Paul Sporer on professional baseball. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
Wes Reynolds will join us to talk golf. Is it the PGA Championship this week?
PGA Championship week.
Oh, yes,
it is.
Carl Sack on the NBA. Kelly and I will update May win totals in Major League Baseball. We will talk NBA here momentarily. We will talk NBA draft lottery. Oh, there's nothing I like more than the NBA draft lottery talk, because it serves as a great PSA for new bettors.
Yes, it does.
So we'll talk about that here coming up momentarily on the show. Let us begin with a couple tennis picks here first thing in the morning. I had four on the overnight. Again, for all VSiN subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every play in every sport at VSiN.com/picks. So it pays to be a subscriber. Two are already in the bag. They split. Naomi Osaka lost in a third set tiebreaker, because of course she did, because nothing goes my way this year. And then Deanna Schneider won easily in straight sets. So we split those. What remains is one on the men's side, one on the ladies' side. If you want some action during the show today, Jaume Munar on the men's side, plus 119 against Sebastian Korda. That was the number got out last night. I will check on what that is right now. And then on the ladies' side, a little later on in the morning, this will be after the show, I believe, I am going for the flyer on Marta Kostyuk against the world number one, Aryna Sabalenka. Yeah, sure am. Kostyuk played her to two really tight sets the last time they played, or at least two very tight sets, and one that I think that went to a tiebreaker. I think she might take her down here. Plus 243 is not what this price ought to be. Sure, Sabalenka should be the favorite, but it should not be anywhere close to plus 243.
DraftKings has plus 225 currently on Kostyuk and plus 110 on Munar.
Yeah, Kostyuk, I would still play. Munar, I would not let it get to minus money. Let's put it that way. Anything below plus 105 is probably not a play anymore. Plus, that's, again, why it pays to be a subscriber, VSiN.com/picks for all subscriber picks throughout, again, the network, every sport by every host or guest listed there. Okay, to the National Basketball Association. And this weekend, Kelly, based on the absolute shenanigans that we witnessed last week in so many games, with teams coming back from 20-point deficits and last-second wins and the like, this was kind of tame by comparison this weekend. And we'll just go to yesterday's games. We have a 2-2 series now between the Thunder and the Nuggets. This could have been a very different conversation had this ended the other way.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Oh, boy, could it have been.
Huge quarter.
Huge quarter for OKC in the fourth. Denver was up in this game 71-63, a little more than 30 seconds into the fourth quarter. But a 14-2 OKC run put the Thunder up 77-73. They never would relinquish the lead after that. And the biggest sort of sequence, perhaps, Jokic missing two free throws, down 84-80, mm-hmm, with 3:25 left. That was big, as was Gordon going 1-for-2 from the line right after that, down 86-80. The spread was decided. The spread on this was 6.5. It was decided on an odd sequence. Went down 90-83 with 9 seconds left. Gordon made one of the he had three free throw attempts, right?
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Gordon made one of the first two, and then a dual lane violation results in a jump ball.
Mm-hmm.
So 90-84. Remember, it's, well, it's 6.5 was the close, but depending on where you got this, right? So 90-84, Denver wins it. I suppose there was a scenario where OKC could have won it. Or if he had missed free throws, it'd gone the other way. But Nuggets lollygag a three. They win the jump. They lollygag a three with 2 seconds left. Gordon banks it in.
It's just incredible. I didn't have the Thunder side in this one specifically, because yeah, I've talked about Aaron Gordon killing me so many times. But, man, I'm sure there are some Thunder bettors out there where if you've bet Thunder the couple games I did where Gordon killed you, and then this one last night too, oh, my gosh, it's just wild.
huge. OKC, two free throws to wrap it up. Those were inconsequential to the spread as a result. So Denver ends up losing by five. That covers, but OKC wins it 2-2 back to OKC. The series goes, and the NBA Hardo Earth is returned to its axis, if you will, with that.
Yeah.
At least temporarily.
I think a little bit, Gil. I'm not feeling very comfortable. I'm not. It's 2-2. I got all kinds of Thunder tickets. I don't feel all that great. This is a game where, like, the Thunder defense has been awesome throughout the entire series. They are. The struggles are real for Nikola Jokic. The struggles are real for everybody else on the team as well. It's crazy. Like, Jokic can have bad games, and still you look at his stat line, it's like, oh, 27 points, 13 rebounds. Like, no, he still didn't have a great game. They're doing a great job of swarming him with defenders right now. But on the other side of the ball, Oklahoma City, it's a... Man, it's going to be really interesting, Gil, because we got report down this morning from Shams, too, of Giannis being open to going elsewhere. It's wild how much the next three games of this series could define the landscape of the NBA going forward. Because if the Thunder crew, let's say they go to a championship, they're not thinking twice about making a play for Giannis. They lose this series, I think they're thinking long and hard about making a play that overhauls and reshapes their entire team.
OKC, 10-point favorites in Game 5. 10-point favorites, Game 5, tomorrow night.
You know, we were sitting here Friday talking about that line with Cleveland, Indiana, right? The Cavs players end up playing in that game. It's amazing how much the zigzags being built into some of these games, right? We go back to OKC, and it's a 3-point difference from where we closed in this game before.
Yeah, speaking of the Cavs, that's where the NBA Earth did not return to its axis yesterday. Indiana just blitzkriegs the Cavs. Just absolutely destroys them from the outset. They lead that game by as many as 45 points. Do the Pacers? They led by 19 in the first quarter alone, and it just extended from there. They win by 40. Excuse me. They led by as many as 44. Pardon me, not 45. They win by 20, 129 to 109. A game that was never in doubt at any point. As Ernie Johnson said, a game only a mother could love. That's all it was. It was just a terrible watch. And Indiana takes a 3-1 lead over Cleveland. Game 4 in that series, a potential closeout back in Cleveland tomorrow night with the Cavs installed as a 7.5-point favorite. Now, the big issue here, though, is Donovan Mitchell hurt his ankle. We don't know exactly when, but he couldn't. At halftime, he tried to warm up, and he couldn't put any weight on that ankle.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I said this last week. For the Now, I guess the counter the Pacers can make at this point is, yeah, but when they had all of them for a half yesterday, we crushed them. Well, I don't know. Was Donovan Mitchell? I don't know when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we can even say that. If you're a Cavs fan, by the way, Cleve TA DM'd me at some point last week. I think it was after one of the 20-point comebacks. And he's like, we officially are like the torture kings. Like,
oh, it's incredible.
If you're a Cleveland Cavalier fan or a Golden State Warrior fan, this is just such a bitter pill to swallow, pardon me, and really especially for the Cavaliers.
Oh, totally. I mean, you could have easily made the argument that they're the best team in the NBA for large portions of the regular season. And just the injuries. It's difficult. I think we do a very good job of this, Gil. I like to think this, but let's hold two thoughts in our head at the same time, right? It's brutal. Cavs have had to play through these injury problems, and it's probably what's going to kill them. And guess what? Indiana's playing great ball.
Absolutely. And they play at a pace where if you're banged up, good God, God help you. 64-win Cavaliers on the brink, if you will, headed back to Cleveland tomorrow night. But they are. We're showing 6.5. I'm seeing some 7.5-point favorites out there in favor of the Cavs. We'll see what the story is with Donovan Mitchell tonight.
Real quick, just to finish up on that one, Gil. It's the series price? I might have to get involved at a gross number. Like, I think this is over. It's 3-1. I think this is over. I do not think Cavs are winning three straight games, and I only got to lay minus 330.
Yeah, this is the one, again, where I got in on the Pacers after game one.
Good on you.
Pacers and Nuggets, I should point out, both after game ones, because I was like, look, the train left the station. I had a hunch about both of them. I hated myself for not betting them pre-flop, but I wasn't going to let it go past game one. So the Pacers one looks great now. I got like plus 191 or something like that on that. But minus 330, you want to play that now?
Like, I might get involved today.
Okay.
Yeah. I was shocked when I saw that number last night.
Well, as far as tonight's games are concerned, doubleheader tonight. These are game fours now. Celtics and Knicks back at MSG after the Celtics just rolled over the Knicks in game three to get off the schneid. The Knicks are up 2-1 in this series. The Celtics are $3 favorites, though, down a game in this series. The Celtics are 6.5 point favorites, or 6 points, depending on where you are right now, in tonight's game at New York. I think I want to take the points with the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think I'm staying away from the side tonight. Would be looking total. I think you can look unders in this series are the way that I'm looking right now. But saw the Celtics team look a little bit more like themselves finally on Saturday. That was expected. I think the one thing, though, I don't mind your Knicks play at all, because I don't think we've seen the best of the Knicks yet by far. Even in the games that they won, that was not the best New York Knicks performances, at least from an offensive standpoint, that I'd expect to see at some point in this series. So I don't hate it. I did bet the Celtics on Saturday. I'm going to be staying away from this one, though.
And then the T-Wolves and the Warriors, game four tonight back at Chase Center in San Francisco, with the T-Wolves up 2-1. Sort of felt like, again, no Steph in game two, no Steph in game three. Sort of felt like game three was the one that the Warriors had a chance to steal and they didn't. And now the T-Wolves 5-point favorites tonight. Total is at 200. This is one I can't play at all, because I could see it going either way.
I made a small bet on Minnesota at 5. No. I think you just said it well. I think it's look, I'm not counting Golden State out yet. We talked about this last week. I think you could easily see them win a game. But, man, the production that they got out of Kuminga 2 games in a row now. And then Jimmy Butler kind of had one of his Jimmy Butler playoff games, and it's still not good enough.
And yet still.
Yeah. It's still not good enough. So, with no Steph, I'll lay 5 with Minnesota tonight.
Again, if the Dubs can steal one here, theoretically, we don't know for sure, but theoretically, they would get Steph back for game 6. So you'd extend it long enough where we would see Steph again. Even that is in doubt, but at least that's the working theory. We'll come back. May wins update in Major League Baseball, and the NBA draft lottery is tonight. We dive in next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet the Preakness Stakes with First Bet. Get rewarded. New customers can use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all wagers for the first 60 days. That's the first 60 days, up to $200. That's win or lose, you get paid back. Download the First Bet app or visit first.com/bet. Use promo code VSiN200 to get started today. That's first.com/bet. First with the number 1. Promo code VSIN200. Preakness this week.
Huge sports week.
We got the Preakness. We got PGA the PGA Championship.
NBA and NHL playoffs obviously going
country
on.
Country clubbing, man.
Huge sports week.
Love it. Such an underrated time of year, right? We always talk about football king, and football is king. And we talk about March Madness, but this is an underrated time. Speaking of football, by the way, in case you missed it, we did get we're going to have the NFL schedule will be out in 2 days. It will be out on Wednesday in full. Remember, this was the thing that they made an announcement on during the NFL draft. Remember, they had Laura Rutledge out there and Colleen Wolf.
Yeah.
So they made an announcement about the announcement. And so they're leaking stuff. We found out the Dolphins and Commanders are playing in Madrid one of these games this year, which is kind of cool. All my Skins fans friends are like, "We're going?" I'm like, "Well, you know, kind of working." So.
That would be a cool trip.
But then we heard about opening day, the first game of the season, announced this morning. The leaks have begun, right? Philadelphia, the Eagles, and the Cowboys, Thursday, September 4th in Philly. Mike Tirico making the announcement this morning on the Today Show. You ever watch the Today Show anymore, Kelly? Are we in here the whole time?
Yeah, I think we're in here. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, there it is. And there's a spread that has come out on this, which is hovering around 7. And our buddy Steve Fezzik, who loves betting NFL games months in advance with this stuff, he is absolutely on it, Kelly. He's looking for this. He said, NFL week 1 line is up. Apparently Dallas is at Philly. I believe DraftKings has the line Philly -7. I'm double checking, he says. FanDuel, or as he called it, Fando, had it -6.5, -115. But I believe money has just come on Philly. He says he bet the -6.5 on Philly. How about that?
Yeah, I was checking around.
Stevie got in on it.
Checking around during the break. We got a couple shops here in Vegas with it posted. Caesars is at 7. Boyd, which basically copies FanDuel's lines, is 6.5 at 120.
Okay.
So, can get involved if you're here in Vegas.
There you go. If you have schedule fever, catch it. It's coming.
This is what happened last year, though, too, right? Like, we had this scheduled date of when the schedule was going to come out, but then all the networks start releasing stuff at a time. Yeah, so I think over the next couple of days, you're going to hear a bunch of this.
Here's the updated, and we'll bring in Paul Spohr for this. Paul Spohr joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from Austin, Texas, with his dog, Charlotte, no doubt, lurking. Paul is at FanGraphs, Sleeper of the Bus podcast. How you doing, Paulie?
Oh, she's lurking back there. She's she's a little under the weather, so
She always is.
She's taking some steroids. She's out of the Hall of Fame.
Okay,
her Hall of Fame potential is trash. She's openly taking steroids.
Remember,
unapologetically, I might add.
We always refer to her accident as the incident on this show.
If things go south here, it could happen again today.
Here is the May most wins update. Remember, we are on the Padres at 25-1. The Padres, after beating the Rockies by 3 touchdowns on Saturday, 21-0, they lose. It looked like they were double parked outside yesterday. They just wanted to be out of Denver. So it's such an odd game. That game actually puts us behind one game behind the pace that I believe was necessary for them or handicapped them to wins. I had them going 20-6. This month. This makes it sort of like a 19-7 proposition. I still think they're the favorite here, but the Padres right now are in sixth place. They're 6-3. Remember, I did it at Circa, where there's tiebreakers, fewest losses, and run differential. That plays into why I still think they're the favorite. The Twins are trolling me, Kelly.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's those Twins
completely.
At the top.
So I had the Mets race to 10 the first month. They end up winning March, April. I had the Twins March, April. They're leading May.
I don't mean to laugh at you, but it's funny.
It's ridiculous. Now, I don't think they'll get there, nor do I think the Cardinals will at 8-2. The Cardinals schedule is tough. Royals at 8-3. Your Tigers, Paulie, and the Phillies both at 7-3. By the way, the Tigers with the best run differential currently this month. And then the Padres at 6-3. Padres have a 3-game set at home. Padres go home finally this month. So the Padres have 11 games left at home, 6 on the road. Remember, they're 14-4 thus far this year at Petco. So Padres looking to go into the friendly confines. It's King against Kikuchi against the Angels. 3-game set against the Angels. Let's win them all, baby. Let's win them all. And by the way, the other team not listed here, and these good on DraftKings for keeping these up mid-month, right? So the other team not listed, remember when I picked the Padres, I had 4 other options that I considered. One was the Tigers, one was the Phillies, one was the Giants, the other was the Cubs. The Cubs were the favorite pre-flop and all this. Cubs have the easiest schedule moving forward, not pictured. So they're lurking as well. But right now it's the Twins and the Cardinals with the edge over the field. Come on, Padres.
Crazy, crazy potential run here for the Cubs. They could feasibly reel off 9 in a row. They go Miami, White Sox at Miami for the next 9. Then they go to Cincy. That's not nothing. And then I don't know if this Colorado series is the end of I think this would still be here in May. So yeah, the schedule is really nice for the Cubs. Problem is, though, of course, they've lost their two big lefties, Steele and Imanaga. So yes, they're pitching. You know, I know some things have been going well. Like Colin Ray's been pitching well. He gets both Miami and the White Sox this week. That's been nice. Cade Horton came up and debuted, but their pitching's a little suspect. So that's a good schedule for the Cubs, but I don't think it's a guarantee because of that starting pitching. I'd still be careful with them.
What's the team on your radar now, either to the good or bad, that you have noticed? I'll just leave this as a broad open question where you're like, okay, I didn't see this coming.
That's a good question. I think Seattle with especially being led by hitting right now, you know, Kirby's working his way back, which remember how BS that time frame was. It was not supposed to be what's going to end up being about 2 months there. Never listen to the timelines that the teams and the players give. They're always BS. But they're hitting in the Mariners. Seattle's hitting. And it isn't just Polanco, right? Like, obviously, he's been doing crazy things that have really set the bar at a particular level there for Seattle. But even if you look beyond Polanco, they've got some other hitting up and down that lineup. They're hitting righties very well. That has been a huge surprise. And look, I suspected that Baltimore's pitching would be pretty rough. And then, you know, you throw in some injuries along with it. Eflin just returned yesterday, and it's terrible. I think they might be cooked. I know it's early. It's May 12th here, but they're dead last by a decent bit. how are they getting back in with this pitching? So I am a bit surprised there, even though I knew that that was a flaw of Baltimore. I criticized their management all offseason for not addressing the pitching well enough. Though in fairness, I did say, you know, they need to sign Burns. And it's not like he looks like super ace or anything like that, but they clearly just didn't do enough. Even if you give him a healthy Grayson Rodriguez, I don't think that alone would flip it. I think they're done. I know it's early and I'm always cautious about doing that. I think Baltimore's done.
And I won't belabor it because I've said it a few times already on the show. This is why you go for it at the deadline when you have a chance, for God's sakes.
Yep.
Don't know why I said
future's
it
like, not guaranteed.
Yeah. Don't know why I said it like Regis Philbin, but anyway. White Sox won 41 games last year. They won 41.
Yes.
The Rockies, I don't know if you've noticed this, Paul, they suck. That's my technical term. Out loud, despite their win yesterday. They've won 7 so far. They're 7-33. If I asked you to make a line right now, will the Rockies exceed the White Sox 41 wins? Would they be a favorite? Would they be a dog? And if so, would they be a slight favorite or dog or a big favorite or dog?
Still a decent favorite for me. And I know they're on pace for 28. But we see these paces a lot in May, and they don't usually hold. Now, the confirmation bias and recency bias, I think, would actually be the better term here. The recency bias of Chicago just doing it could lead to some rough bets. I could see some people thinking, well, we just saw it last year. We're going to see it broken again this year. Maybe, but I don't think so. And it's not that I think the Rockies are like a sleeper, decent team. They're terrible. Again, they stink out loud. Like, their smell is so bad, there's a sound to it. But I still think, like, with that park, with their kind of like baseline talent that they have, that they're still going to crawl their way into the 50s or even the high 40s, which is still wretched, right? I can't get there. We've seen too many teams start at levels like this and regress to where they're quote unquote supposed to be, meaning into the 50s, 60s win territory. White Sox didn't last year. I don't think that that means that the Colorado's just going to go ahead and break their record the following year.
Give me a DFS sleeper tonight before we leave.
A sleeper for tonight. That's a good one here. Let me pull up. I have 18 billion tabs open right now, so I'm finding my sheet, but I got it. I'll give you Ryan Gusto for the Houston Astros. He's unfortunately filling in for Hayden Wesneski. I say unfortunately because I really love Hayden Wesneski, who's the name I probably would have given otherwise. But Gusto's a young pitcher that they put back in the rotation here. They might not miss a beat with the Wesneski injury. So for Houston's overall purposes, it might not be too bad because Gusto comes out of the bullpen. I like him against the Royals.
Paul, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Wes Reynolds, golf and basketball next.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM channel 158. 150 Izzle. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer.
Hey.
How you doing?
Great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's big week.
Sounds sincere.
Big week. Let's go.
This is, let's see, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Xavier82. Before this loss to the Rockies, I put the win total at 23 for the Padres out of a total 26 games to be played. Wow, he's more bullish than I was. If another team gets to 24 wins, it's over. But now with the L, definitely need to make up the loss to get to 23 now. I have the same calculus, but I had him at 20-6. Now I have them at 19-7. I think Xavier has really got a exploding record there. This is from, let's see, there were some others on this as well. This is from the Jensen Lewis before the show, By the Books. Jensen Lewis, co-host of By the Books with Dave Ross before this show. He added the Padres 18-1 and the Cubs 19-1 on the show this morning. Mid-May wins bets from Jensen.
Oh, he did
well.
That this morning?
Yes, did that this
you
morning.
You can get the Padres that long still? Wow.
Yeah. And the Cubs, by the way, who I would say are the two co-favorites right now. Super Jerk. Hey, it's our buddy Super Jerk.
Yeah.
Formerly angriest guy in New Jersey, then angriest guy in Kentucky. Now he just goes by Super Jerk. Super Jerk says, Gil, I wouldn't watch the Today Show if you tied me to a chair and cut my eyelids off. He goes on to say, if I was a guest on the Today Show, I would not watch the Today Show. You follow me? I think I do follow you. Sparty, KY. I heard someone say on your show the U.S. had the second most Cardinals there to vote. What country had the most? It was Italy, right?
Oh, man.
Or am I incorrect about that?
Let's see what Google has to say.
Maybe I'm incorrect about that. Kelly is currently Googling.
Nah, we got Wes Reynolds on hold. I bet you he knows.
He knows. Ladies and gentlemen, better than Google. Wes Reynolds, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one. Wes, of course, co-host of Long Shots as well. Who had most Cardinal representation in the conclave?
We're such a jerk.
Well, at first I was stricken by the angry guy from Long Island. Apparently, he's a Good Morning America guy and not a Today right. Show, and not a Today That's Show right. guy. In terms of this, I don't know, so I'm going to guess right offhand as second most Cardinals. I'm going to say Germany.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Germany. Really? Wow. Okay. Maybe not.
After Italy. I don't have a number on Italy, but the U.S. had 10, second highest behind Italy.
Yeah, had to be Italy. Had to be Italy. It's a home game for Italy is what it is with. Italy followed by the U.S. Did you see Conclave, by the way? Did you see that movie?
I have not.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good. Pretty good movie. I enjoyed it. I wish I had, again, as I was lamenting last week, I wish that I had watched it earlier so then my brain would have clicked in at some point and said, oh, I should probably take what I've learned from this movie and try to apply it to an actual bet. Maybe I would have been part of that amazing betting, you know, wins that folks had betting on a U.S. Pope or specifically on the gentleman that did become the Pope. And by the way, they found footage of him now. You see this? The 2005 World Series between the White Sox. That was the year the White Sox won it. He's in the stands rooting for his White Sox.
Chicago Bob. What a story.
What are the chances of that? That they have the camera on him?
I don't know.
It's amazing.
I was watching CNN that day. And they just like were randomly pulling like people off the street for interviews. You know, they're in front of I'm forgetting the name of the church, but really famous Catholic church in Philadelphia. And they just randomly found an old like roommate of his from Villanova. It's like, oh yeah, I know him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Okay. This is the Pope we're talking about.
Kind of cool. All right, Wes, before we get to golf, let's talk about your Indiana Pacers. I saw you tweeting about it, with the yes, sirs, hashtag. You must be over the moon here. Are you allowing yourself to think this is going to happen? They are going to advance here.
I am allowing myself to think this is going to happen, but I know it's not going to be easy. Now it's going to depend on if Donovan Mitchell is going to play on Tuesday night for game number 5. If he's not, then I feel very good about the Pacers. But look, two things can I think be true in this series. One, the Cleveland Cavaliers are not 100% in terms of health. And two, the Indiana Pacers are a horrible matchup for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think that bore fruit last night. On Friday night, what really turned the game was when Kenny Atkinson and Cleveland went to that 3-2 zone. And the Pacers couldn't hit any shots. I think they were like 0 of 11 from 3 in the second quarter and only scored like 13 points or 13 or 15. I can't remember right offhand. But nevertheless, they got outscored by 20 in the second quarter. And the game was pretty much a wrap. But what happens is these coaches, despite what many people might think, because I know a lot of people, the NBA gets a lot of grief and rightfully so with the load management and all that stuff. But I think a lot of fans and a lot of outside viewers out there kind of think these guys in the NBA, like these coaches don't really coach. Like they just kind of roll the basketballs out and just kind of like, you know, sit on the sidelines and just chat everybody up. No, they make adjustments. And Rick Carlisle did last night, and when you score 80 points in a half and they're up 80-39, that, you know, it was great shooting, but it was also getting great looks, and it was also making adjustments against what the Cavs were trying to do defensively. And I just thought Cleveland got dispirited very early, even after the Mathurin ejection. It was kind of like, okay, is this a momentum killer for the Pacers? Because I was like, man, that's really stupid. Like, what are you doing? You know, they need you.
Yeah.
And apparently they didn't need him because they absolutely ran him out. And I just think you got a connected group right now with the Pacers. And these guys have now played together a couple years, this core. And this was the fourth best record in the NBA since January 1st. I know I've belabored that point, but it is. And that tells me that they can compete with anybody. And, you know, still got to get one done. Don't want to, you know, count it yet. And Rick Carlisle even said that in the postgame presser last night. He was like, you know, we haven't done anything yet.
I do feel like Rick Carlisle, not to get into sports talk radio conversation, but I do feel like he's maybe as underrated a career coach as there is. Took the Mavericks to the title, obviously. I feel like if the Pacers get to the finals, let's say, all of a sudden his place in history becomes etched in a way that it hasn't been. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, won the title with Dallas, has always been a really good coach. Of course, him and Larry Bird were old buddies back from the Boston Celtics teams. And Larry Bird was former coach of the Pacers. Actually, the last time they got to the finals, he was the coach in 2000 and was the team president for many years. So it wasn't like, okay, he's doing his buddy a favor. Rick Carlisle can really coach and has a very good staff. And he has got a bunch of guys that have bought in right now. And just Cleveland, I think they got to be scratching their head. You know, what are we doing? Because they're kind of, you could sense they were getting frustrated where they're getting a little bit out of character for this team that won 64 games. And you win 64 games, that's legitimate. But the playoffs are always a different bird. And it doesn't always, you know, go towards like what the regular season produced. And you look at some of these series where it's like, okay, Oklahoma City should lay over Denver, and they lay over them in every way. But most of these games, save for that blowout in game two, have been absolutely competitive and down to the wire.
Yeah, he also got fired the year before the Pistons won it all in 2004. So what could have been there as well?
He's an interesting guy in NBA's history and how you hear NBA people talk about him, because he's, I think there's a lot of respect around the league for him.
A lot, but
rubs people the wrong way, though, often. Like, that kind of got him out of town in Dallas, and like, he coaches hard, Wes, right? I mean, he's a guy that he's going to be in your face, and if you're going to be young players, you got to be willing to be coached up by him, and it seems to all be clicking in Indiana.
Look, he's not a screamer or anything, but he has that, like, you know, sarcasm almost where he can, like, you know, he's very short. He's very curt sometimes with guys. And sometimes that personality can grate on people, but hasn't done it so far for the Pacers.
All while looking just like Jim Carrey. I just think we give, like, you know, Phil Jackson here. You have Michael Jordan for 6 seasons. Then you have Shaq and Kobe. It's like, oh, he's the greatest coach of all time. And I just don't know why we don't make that extra layer of assessment in the NBA. By the way, as we've sat here, Wes, in the first hour of this show, the Pacers have gone, at least at the book that I'm looking at, they've gone from a 7.5-point dog tomorrow night in game 5 back in Cleveland to an 8-point dog. You taking the points?
I'm tempted to. We don't know. I'm assuming that Donovan Mitchell, and you never want to assume with all these injuries, but I'm assuming he's going to go in an elimination game here where, you know, there's no tomorrow for this team. You would think that he would play, but Garland, they played him in those blowout minutes. They played him those extra minutes in the third last night because this was kind of essentially his first full game back. Because remember, he got in foul trouble on Friday night and didn't play very much. So it's like, okay, we got to get him some minutes and kind of get him back into quote unquote game shape. Mobley missed game 2 with that sprained ankle. So, you know, they're not 100% healthy. I think that's a big ass to lay 8 here.
Any other plays in the NBA either tonight or tomorrow?
I'm going to go with the bounce back game, perhaps for Jalen Brunson with the Knicks. I like the over threes, over three point makes tonight. And then I'm going to keep going against Tatum until he clears it. Everybody was betting Jason Tatum on Saturday. You know, you get those tweets like, what are the most popular props? And inevitably, they're always the superstars, right? So they played Jason Tatum over. That game became a blowout. He only ends up with 22. He's back at 27.5 again. I know he shot the 3 better in the Garden on Saturday, but until he can do that in this series, I'm going to play under Jason Tatum points.
Yeah, the thing with the Celtics-Knicks, too, is I feel like there is some sentiment like, oh, see, that was the Celtics. That game 3 thing with the Celtics making the threes, that's their real thing. I don't know. Maybe the truth lies somewhere in between their horrible three-point shooting performances, let me be clear, in games 1 and 2 and what happened yesterday.
Yeah, somewhere in between 25 and 50%. Yeah, I agree, yes. Somewhere I think that's fair to say, yes.
Yes.
Tatum, man, Wes, I can't hate on the bet. I almost texted you, but I knew your business this weekend. I'm like, as soon as I saw him miss his second layup, I'm like, what's going on? What is going on? Just stick to the threes, I guess, Tatum. You can't make a layup, dude.
I got the Knicks tonight. I think I'm doing the Knicks in the contest. Carl Sack saying the best play on the board is the under in this one. At 2:08, 1st of 2 tonight in the National Basketball Association. Wes will join us for a second segment. We'll talk golf, not only the tournament that was with Sepp Straka winning the Truest by 2 strokes. but also, of course, the PGA Championship this week from Quail Hollow. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.